Hello and welcome to Sangam Lit. This is Nandini Karki, and in this episode, we relish the intricate methods of conveying intention as expressed in Sangam literary work Natrinai 98, written by Ukkira Peruvaluthi, a famous poet king from Sangam times. Set in the Kurunji landscape of mountain country, the poem speaks in the voice of the confidant to the man, passing on a hidden message to make him hasten his marriage with the lady. Aimul anna paruvu mayir yeruthin, seim meval sirugat pandri, ongumalai vienpunam padiyer, veengupori noolai nulayum poludil, thaladu pangar pakkattu palli, பட்டென மெல்ல மெல்ல பிறக்கே பெயர்ந்து தன் கல் அலை பள்ளிவதியும் நாடன் எந்தை ஓம்பும் கடியுடை வியல் நகர் துஞ்சா காவலர் இகழ்வதம் நோக்கி இரவின் வருவும் அதனினும் கொடிதே வைகளும் பொருந்தல் ஒல்லா கண்ணோடு வாரா என் நார் இல் நெஞ்சே. Evoking a prickly feeling within, the poem opens with the word aim mul, meaning porcupine's quills. Although it starts with a porcupine, we mustn't jump to the conclusion that it's all about one, for we meet sirihat pandri, meaning a small-eyed boar. Veengupori tells us danger awaits this beast, for it means a huge trap. To make many a dainty heart leap, appears a balli or lizard. To test your Tamil pronunciation skills, in close proximity appears palli, which means school in contemporary times, whereas it meant sleep or rest in the past. Won't it be a wonderful thing if schools indeed drop the mad pace and embrace rest and play much more? Getting back to the verse, I learned that Viel Nahar means wide mansion. Wonder if there's any connection to the Nagar in Tamil street names we find today. The final surprise was the word Nar, which means not the fiber on a coconut skin, but love or affection. I could only make the connection by taking the third meaning of the word, which is rope, and use it as a bridge between the fiber used to make a rope and love as a binding rope that ties one's heart. Moving from words to meaning, we learn that the man and woman have been in a love relationship, and the man arrives to tryst with the lady at night. Sensing that his mind is showing no inclination towards a formal union, the lady's confidant tells him in a subtle manner, with thick hair on its neck, akin to a porcupine's quills, a small-eyed boar plans to enter a vast millet field on the mountain slopes. It is unaware of the huge trap waiting for it. At the moment the boar takes a step towards the field's entrance, like a friend who discerns what's good and not, from the side a lizard clicks unceasingly. Taking it for a bad omen, the boar slowly takes step after step backwards and goes to rest in its rock cave. Our Lord comes from a mountain country filled with such scenes. Waiting for the moment when the sleepless soldiers of Father's well-guarded mansion rest their guard fatigued, our Lord enters our house in the dark of the night. More cruel than that act are my eyes that know no rest, worrying about the hardships on his path, and my heart that stays away with him with no love at all for me. Fret not that such words of love are being spoken by the confidant rather than the lady. As we have seen in other instances, the confidant sometimes assumes the voice of the lady to drive home a message to the man. With these words, the confidant intends to convey to the man that the lady worries about him all day and that it would be better to forge a formal union. To unravel the deeper meaning of the metaphors, let's travel into the verse's remote corners. A porcupine's quills is brought in as a simile for the thick hair on the boar's neck. Then the confidant paints a vivid scene in the Lord's mountain country. On the slope extends a rich green millet field, and the boar yearns for a bite of the delicious crop. A danger awaits our millet thief. The farmers have laid a trap for the boar, which it's unaware of. As it inches closer to the entrance of the field, a sharp sound is heard. It's a lizard clicking its tongue. Perhaps the boar hears it like the of a friend, that it immediately stops in its tracks and takes a step backwards, then another and then another, until it is safe in its rocky den. Hold on to this animal planet Sangam scene while we turn our gaze to the man of the mountains. What is he up to? He waits for the moment the soldiers nod off in tiredness to sneak in through father's fenced mansion. What a cruel one he is to do this, the confidant remarks. But that's nothing, she says, when compared to the unkind heart of the lady that stays away with the man, not considering her health, and leaves no rest for those eyes all day, every day. Now bring forth the scene of the boar and stack it in parallel to the man. The boar is wise to heed the warning of the lizard and retreat. Will the man realize the dangers in his current path too? Of walking through the terror-filled mountain path only to encounter the even more terrifying soldiers in father's mansion. The confidant thus subtly points to the boar as an inspiring example, and her words are to be taken as the warning of that clicking lizard. Should the man retreat like the boar? No, no, the confidant completes, saying the lady's heart is away with the man, and the only right thing, therefore, is to seek her hand in marriage and enter her life the just way. What's amazing in these poems is that the metaphors and similes for humans are found in the animal world. We live in a time when to compare humans to such beasts may be considered as a negative thing, whereas then it seems to be a natural thing. It's here the Sangam folks shine like our guiding light to embrace all life as one. Thanks for listening to this episode of Sangam Lit and journeying with me to ancient lands and mines. Please rate and review Sangam Lit on your favorite podcast app, and do visit nandinikarki.com to share your thoughts. Until next time, Nandri Vanakkam.